Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Happy Friday, fabulous Friday, fabulous women on a Friday. Anne Gildea is here. Hi.
Hello, Brendan. Great to catch up with you.
Yeah, we're very excited. We're just remembering, we used to meet all the time, late nighteries.
Yeah, and
we don't do that anymore.
No.
It's not so much.
Can
I read your intro now? Because it's comedian Anne Gildea is here and has been on the road, and it says for 2025 years. I think they meant for most of 2025. With her show, Further Adventures of Womaning, love it. And there's loads of dates to come, so we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. How has it been?
Absolutely fabulous. Because Brendan, this is the trajectory of what happened.
Go on.
I was doing the Newlist for Aeons, you know, and then the Newlist finished in 2018. I was like, well, what am I going to do now? And it was like coming up with the idea of a show and everything. And then there was lockdown, and I came up, well, it was my partner, Paul, who came up with the idea of doing a show called How to Get the Menopause and Enjoy It. So I did for 3 years, and that stormed. And then this was the follow up. So again, it's like it's in this business, you're always starting again. So
the hustle never stops.
Is that the same for you, Brendan?
Oh my! I saw Simon Delaney pulled up beside me in the car, and he said, "The hustle is real," and drove off. Yeah, no, the hustle never stops. Us freelancers, creatives, there we go.
Isn't it so true? So it was a follow-on from that. So it's called Further Adventures in Womaning. And so many people say to me, Further Adventures in Womanizing. As if, Brendan, I'm a big lesbian going around the world going, come, ladies, come.
You just put me in that scene from Hacks. Remember on the cruise liner where she gets it all wrong? That was very funny. So, and you were on the show in March 2022 for that, How to Get the Menopause and Enjoy It. And it exploded. You were right on with Ray, weren't you?
Oh, and I cannot tell you, because I was in the Viking Theatre at the time, and I cannot tell you all the people who came to the show because they heard me on Ray Darcy.
Isn't that amazing? That's great. That's great. The power of that. That's brilliant. But it's in the past now, because you've parked that for Further Adventures of Womanizing. Now, so, how did you start thinking? Because this really struck a chord with me, because I have spent 4 years researching my mum's generation. Really?
Oh, tell me. Well, what are you doing?
It was really about the lack of choice of her generation and how her life was so moulded by that. And it's just been a load of research, really. It's at that stage now. But my mum was very funny about all that stuff, so she would always be very quippy about it. So you got really... your mum is...
My mum is 91 years of age. Her name is Una Gildea, and she lives in Manchester. But she is overstaying with my sister in Dublin A at the moment, and I hope she's listening. Hello, mum!
Hi.
And my mum, I have to tell you the title.
Una.
Una. Her name is Winifred, actually, but they call her Una. And this is the type my mum is. The last time I was over visiting her in Manchester, I walk into a flat and the first thing she says is, "Now, Anne, don't take this the wrong way, but have you lost all interest in the way you look?" Is your mum like that?
I wasn't a girl, thank goodness. My poor sister is like...
No, but it's said with love, but it's...
My sister walked out of the room one day and my mother looked at me and said, if you took a picture of her backside in those jeans and showed them to her, she'd never wear them again. Mom, I was like, you can't speak about things. But they did speak like that. Let's be honest, right? Like they and I think the honesty around
but
it. And we're laughing. But
it's also the way you look. Like, I went over to a funeral because all my mum's sisters, they're all from Mayo, but they all live in Manchester. And I was over at a funeral and I just wore these. I thought they were interesting boots. They were wooden-soled Dutch boots. And like, it was a very sad funeral, but the whole conversation was, I can't believe she wore those boots. The whole conversation.
It's a cry in the night for attention.
My mother still talks about the boots I wore that time. Yeah, you know, as I love that though.
Oh yeah.
And when you so you're researching your mum's generation.
Yeah.
Did you feel that there was a lack of choice for your mum in what she could do in her life?
Yeah, there was. There's a very funny story, but she had all of us and she sat around the table on Christmas Day and pointed at the first one. She said, "Oh, I didn't want you. I wanted you." And I said, "Planned, Mum." So we say planned. She said, "No, want."
But this is a wonderful thing about women. They reach a certain age and they don't
the rules are
a Shiite anymore. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what it is? It's the fall in estrogen, because estrogen estrogen is the give a damn hormone. Estrogen is the hormone that raises the world. You know, it's the caring, nurturing. And then it falls and you're like, ah.
Don't care.
You know, like I love that old ladies like pushing to the top of the queue and then going, was there a queue? Oh, sir. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
They just act like they didn't see the queue.
It's my favourite thing. I love that generation, but I do feel that they were kind of shortchanged by the way society was. So my show
100%.
Riffs on that, yeah. But in a very funny way. But it's nostalgic for women who, old women who come, nostalgic for people of my generation, very informative for younger people.
Yeah, very important to tell them.
Yeah, and it is all funny, but it's riffing right through the way things were for women. And one of the images I had in my head, Brendan, when I started writing it, was Housewife of the Year competition.
Oh, yes.
And it was total serendipity that then that documentary.
Incredible documentary.
Actually, there's one bit that really stuck out for me in that is the woman is saying her poem.
Yes.
You know, they used to do their little
party piece.
And now do your little party piece. It was so condescending. Yeah. And they were brilliant women. But this was, I actually wrote this out. I had to watch it again to write it down verbatim. This was a woman's poem. It's very nice to be good looking, but that will not excuse bad cooking. For men have got such funny natures, they judge you by your beef and potatoes. That is from the 1980s in Ireland. A woman wrote that in all sincerity, and it's brilliant. And the audience are there.
Yeah, fair play. My father said one day, I looked up from her, my mother rarely cooked. She was always worked. She was an anti-feminist. She was very pro equality. She used to say men and women aren't equal. Women are far superior. And my dad
I love it.
My dad said, these potatoes are hard. And she, without a beat, she said, into everyone's life, a little rain must fall. There's so much in it, isn't there?
Oh, there's so much. You have to write a book about your mum. You have to write a book with all your research and it pivots all around
about,
the character.
Tell me
of
about
your
what
mom.
You remember growing up. I love the quote where you said your mother put patches on everything and you look like a Latvian folk group.
my mum was the most amazing dressmaker. There's so many women were back then. They had so much.
They made their clothes, yeah.
Yeah, but there's so much housework to do with the twin tub and everything else. There was nothing easy or automatic. And then you'd hear in the middle of the night, the sewing machine would be going like this.
Yeah.
It was like roadworks in the distance.
Downstairs.
And my mum was always the two-piece. And the top bit was always a sleeveless jerkin. You looked like you were in the course of a pantomime or something. And she loved this decorative edging called rickrack. Somebody in the audience told me this. That was, they shouted up, that was called rickrack. It was like squiggly patterns.
Oh,
so
yes.
If she was making a two-piece, say, in navy polyester, then the rickrack would be in yellow or orange.
Yeah.
Like, but she would put it around every seam.
Yeah.
So it would be around the armpit. It would be up and down the legs. That's what I was saying. I looked like I escaped from a Latvian folk troupe. Just the decorative. It was, she just loved her rickrack. She went, oh, this is lovely now.
It's gone on everything.
Or there was a woman, I met a woman after the show, and she was telling me that she had an auntie who prided herself on making all the clothes for all the kids in the family. And when she was 9 years of age in the 1970s, she made her hot pants. Can you imagine how hot pants would have been with a bib? And she thought she was the coolest kid on the estate until she went around to her auntie's house and saw that her auntie had upholstered the sofa in the same fabric. Because that was the thing. If you're making homemade clothes, you'd be doing the curtains and you go, sure, I'll get a school outfit out.
Yeah.
And then your school books were covered in the wallpaper.
Oh, yeah, do you remember
so
that?
You were going around dressed as the curtain. Yeah. You were like human swatches for the interior design choices.
I remember looking across the classroom at some young fellas covered on his books and thinking, oh, they have a horrible house. Brown flock wallpaper. It must be like a cave.
That was the 70s.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you also talk about some television ads, and that really got me thinking. Like, it was all aimed at women.
It was all aimed at, and it was all cleaning.
Let's play. This is in the show, and inspired by you, we got this clip. Let's play it.
Do the shake and back and put the freshness back. Do the shake and back and put the freshness back. When you
carpet smells fresh. Your room does too. Every time you vacuum, remember what to do.
Everybody in the audience remembers that. They all sing along. And the woman...
Do they all sing along?
Yes, they all sing along. And, you know, her, she's moving around. It was across the dance. It was across between choreography and a nervous breakdown. No wonder. Because you're hoovering up the dust on the carpet and then you're shaking this extra dust on it. And do you remember the suction on Hoovers then was like a 90-year-old with emphysema. So no wonder. No wonder.
It's amazing. Amazing.
So it's amazing to remind people of, because I'm Generation X, so that's kind of
me
the
too.
First generation. I was, you're born early 70s. I checked. I went, when was he born? I wondered. You're early 70s. I was late 60s. And we were the first generation raised on telly.
Yeah.
So the ads were really, they had a potency then.
They were
the
influential.
Ads.
Yeah. And they stayed in our minds. And we looked forward to them. I nearly enjoyed them as much as the cartoons.
Oh, I loved, and the way they, like, I truly believed that the 18-hour girdle was like a rite of passage for a woman. And when you got your 18-hour girdle, you were a woman. And then the cross your heart bra. Do you remember all the ads for the crowd and the pointy boobs? A woman told me they call them bras, the sheepdog bras. Round them up and point them out. And I don't know if you remember the chiffon scarf test. I was completely...
Oh, yes. Down your legs, your hairy legs.
Yeah, down your hairy leg. If that chiffon scarf snagged at all on your leg, well, you're dirty.
Wear your glasses on
your hairy beast, you. Get out of here. You're not a woman at all. I thought that that's what you would be doing. I thought that's what you'd be doing when you grew up. You'd be getting up, having your breakfast, running a scarf down your leg, off you go. And it was that whole version, and it's gone.
Yeah,
Does it
need to be gone in a way? We need to acknowledge it, but we do need to leave it in the past in a way.
I think we definitely need to leave it in the past. So I love reminding people of all that, and then I want people to think, God, what about now?
Exactly.
I think girls are under terrible pressure with social media.
Yeah,
I'm a bit like that myself. Like I'm going, should I get Botox? Should you know? It's if you are in the public eye, and you are not. Not doing a little bit of work. It's almost like, are you a professional? Really?
Are you okay?
Are you? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that on your face?
Real skin. Yeah, real skin. One piece of advice that your mom gave you that stays with you. And bear in mind, she might be listening.
Well, my mum used to always say to me that the way to a man's heart was through his stomach. And I just say that, and so many women of my generation go, I was told that, And it sounds insane from now.
Feed him and keep him.
No.
Like having an orangutan in the back garden. Feed it and keep it.
And I'm totally undomesticated.
So
now,
quickly tell me about the tour, because we were laughing so much I forgot.
Okay,
I
was touring from January, and I'm on the road again from the second of September, and I'm doing a really nice show in Dublin in the Crackdown Comedy Club for
Brilliant.
My first show on the 2nd of September.
Fab.
I'm doing it in that small comedy club, my whole show, and then I'm going to be in Iontas Castleblaney on the 5th of September, Hawkswell Sligo on the 6th, and then all around the country, and I'm going to be also over in the ICC in London.
Brilliant.
In Hammersmith.
Brilliant. So, and where can people get information? I found you.
www.nglegiltea.com/shows. Do you know when the Newlas started out, we used to say, and you can get the Newlas on www. And it used to be a huge joke, and the whole audience would be going, and we'd be going /, /. And it was all like, and now it's amazing. That's 30 years ago.
Listen, I hope Una's listening. Congratulations, Una. You're amazing. She's a wonderful girl. Well done. You did well.
She'd prefer if I was a doctor. There you go.
Listen, thanks so much. Great to see you. Have
Brendan,
a great tour. Thank you so
and
much.
I'm so,
You look great. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
You look great. You're doing it right. Let's take a break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.